scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, we're going to be having another weekend where Abraham Lincoln is taking on vampires.
All right.
Although we talked about Lincoln last week, but we will talk about the vampires, sort of vampires. The Twilight non-saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2, we're going to be talking about. We're also going to talk about the Silver Linings Playbook, DVDs, and Blu-ray reviews. We also have some interesting sort of scuffle kerfuffle going on at the screening.
I'm looking forward to that part.
That's a great one. But before we talk about that, it's my turn to do the happy dance this week because
It's always your turn to do the happy dance.
I was dangerously close.
Cut me some slack here.
Dangerously close on my box office prediction from last week.
And I was dangerously close in saying that Skyfall is a good movie.
Well, there you go. But yours wasn't off. I mean, it's not like you said it's going to make like $15
million. No.
Kristen last week predicted $67 million for Skyfall to make in the box office. I said $92. Actually, when the numbers came in, when you add in the IMAX screens and the Thursday night, so for that first wave ending on Sunday, it was $90.6
million. Blah, blah, blah.
I was so close, and I'm awesome. That's actually the highest Bond opening we've ever had. I didn't know if you knew that.
I did.
You looked that up after.
Because I had researched for about 15 seconds before I made my pick last week, so.
Well, that's good. It's a good thing that we have those standards of box office tracking on the show. But see, your prediction of 67 was in line with the other films.
It was. That's why I picked it.
Yeah. So it ended up doing better. It was unopposed, whereas like when Casino Royale came out,
it was
up against Happy Feet. And it also was doing extremely well overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people were waiting for the return. I don't know if the next one's going to do as well, simply because there was that 4 years of anticipation.
Right.
And it was just the news story.
Yeah, that could have gone either way. It could have been really good for it, or it could have been like, it's a Bond. It's been a while.
Well, that's kind of, I think, what happened with Casino Royale. You know, it's been 4 years since the last one. They're like, oh, they're rebooting it. I don't know about this blonde guy with the big ears. He's not Pierce Brosnan.
He's not.
No. Other box office numbers from last week. Wreck-It Ralph made $33 million, which is only a 32.7% drop, and that's actually really good.
That's not bad.
From a week-to-week drop, and it's like, what, third week? Flight, sadly, is holding well.
I don't get that.
It only dropped 40% to $14.8 million. Then Argo was in fourth place.
Yay.
Doing well. It's 6.6. It's $86 million domestic total. Taken 2 still doing well. It's over $131 million.
Not bad.
Then Cloud Atlas is at number 6 with $2.7 million. It's got a $22.8 million cum, and it's been out for weeks. Flight made more its opening weekend.
That's really sad.
That is very sad. I'm shame on you, America.
Yes.
For your just devotion to Denzel Washington.
I don't know. Did Cloud Atlas not have as good a commercial as Flight did? Because
probably not.
Seeing the commercial for Flight, it looks like a good movie. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I think it's just Denzel. People, they'll go see Denzel do anything. It'll be like Denzel burping for 2 hours, which is pretty much what Flight was.
That's true. That will win the Oscar.
I would love to see the Oscar clip. Just walking, starts crying. That's right. Highbrow show here. Fat Guys at the Movies.
How many minutes in before we started belching?
3.5 before the burp talk.
Right.
And then the Man in the Iron Fist is plummeting. Pitch Perfect still holding around. Almost $60 million. And Here Comes the Boom, Hotel Transylvania kind of finished up the top 10. The other one to notice was Lincoln made just shy of $1 million, $944,000, which seems like a low number, but it was in
a lot of theaters.
Yeah, like 10 theaters.
Yeah.
10 or 15 theaters. And it had an $86,000 per screen average, which is incredibly good. It's the third best per screen average after The Master and Moonrise Kingdom in terms of limited release. It's going wide this week, so, you know, we'll see.
Go out and see it.
We'll see if Abraham Lincoln can take on the vampires.
I've been telling everybody about it.
Yeah. I've been going crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have a sandwich board.
Go see Lincoln.
Yeah. And I should, you know, for the BFCA, they sent us a playbill of the movie, so it had, you know, it's the information booklet kind of thing. I should walk around with that, waving it over my head like a street preacher.
I'd be there with you.
I totally should.
You can be the preacher. I'll have the sandwich board.
You can be the hype man.
Okay.
You can be like, you know, like the rap guy
who
comes
on
and is like, yo, 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 listen to Kevin. You rap way better than I do.
Well, it's true.
Let's rap. Let's talk. And we're talking here at Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get us. We got our email address changed finally.
Yay.
You can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com.
That's pretty neat.
Or Kevin at Fat Guys or Chris or KDK. Yours is KDK.
Yeah, because you can't spell it. Nobody can spell my name.
Nobody can spell your name. It's got 17 I's in it. So you can leave us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. We do have a little bit more of Red State Gabe's email
question.
Oh,
that's right.
We'll talk about that later when it kind of slows down after Thanksgiving and just only crappy movies come out in the box office.
Right.
You can go to fatguysinthemovies.com and find out about us and the other stuff and like bonus content and that sort of thing. Facebook.com/FGATM. And you can go to Twitter.com/KevinCarr for me and KDK Reviews for Kristen with 17 eyes.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about...
We've got some stories to tell.
Crazy stuff that happens. See, all these people always say, oh, it's so great. It's got to be a great job to be a film critic.
Oh, it's such an easy job.
You just have to sit there and watch movies.
I wish I could sit around and watch movies all day.
Yeah, the thing is you have to fight crowds to see these movies, even though you'll a lot of times get preferred seating sometimes at screenings.
And occasionally we do get our own screenings. Those are nice.
That is
sometimes,
nice
except when people leave their phones on.
Yeah, or bring 18 friends when they shouldn't.
Right, there's that.
But there was a Red Dawn screening. We'll talk about the movie Red Dawn next week because that's one of the big...
That's just something else for a different day.
Because invading North Koreans says Thanksgiving.
Right.
But the screening of Red Dawn was hilariously dangerous.
I have to say that this always happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
I always miss the good screenings.
Yeah.
The one time that I think, okay, I have a lot going on. My parents were in town. You know, I thought, okay, I can skip this one.
It's like, it's just Red Dawn.
Right. I thought, just for once, I'll skip this one. And that's when all the fun stuff happens.
I text you in the middle of like, oh, yes. The pre-show had to be way better than the movie itself.
I know.
So what happened was they overbooked the screening. And I don't know what happened on
which
the
is
website.
What happens. Because they always overbook because they want to fill the whole theater.
Yeah, and they want to get the word out.
But they keep track.
Yes, you should be
usually.
Keeping track. And they must let people in. Normally at these screenings, if they start at 7:30, you can come in at like 6:30 is when they start letting people in, 6:45. You can show up. Us as press members, we show up 6:45 up to even only a half hour beforehand, and they usually have some seats saved, or even if there's not, like I've come in late, and I've come in like 10 minutes before the movie, and I just need one seat, and you can usually find one. Not this one. It was packed, and Jason, I come walking in, and Jason Zingali from Bullseye.com, he's sitting in, and he just looks at me, and Jason's usually very cool and composed. He just has this look of pain.
He's a pretty laid-back guy.
He's like, there are no seats, man. He's like, there are no seats. And I'm like, really? I mean, you're 45 minutes early.
Wow.
And it's Red Dawn. And so then the rep comes out. As they let in, they probably let in 30 or 40 people more than there were seats in the auditorium.
Nice.
Which is always a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, because then they're sitting on the stairs, and then they get angry.
They get angry. And then the worst part is because what happens is people, they'll go to the free screening. And that's what I'm like, this opens next Wednesday. You can see it for like $5 at 10 o'clock in the morning at this theater in a week. But people will go there for the free screening, and then they'll go get concessions. And then they'll feel ripped off if they've bought concessions and spent $86 for a soda and a popcorn.
It's true.
And then they start to riot. Well, there are these people who apparently there are these college students, and one of them was running late and they were holding a seat. And they're like, no, you can't. And this woman, I mean, it was like the Jerry Springer show. This woman was in like this pink sweatsuit and she's holding a toddler. I mean, the kid must have been.
For Red Dawn.
Yeah, for Red Dawn.
Because it's a movie for toddlers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think the kid could like walk effectively itself. It was a young kid. It was maybe 9 months old, 10 months old, 12 months old. And she's a screaming, ah, rah, 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 rah. And the security comes in, and the securities for these screenings are there not for crowd control. They're there to protect the print.
To make sure that we're not recording the film.
Exactly. So he came out, and he's kicking people out. He's kicking out the college students, and the people are yelling and screaming. I seriously thought someone was going to get stabbed in this movie. I mean,
before the movie even started.
Yeah, and they're like, because I'm sure they were checking for, like, do you have a phone? Do you have a recording equipment? Oh, you have a knife? That's fine. Take that in. You got a sawed off.
You have a shiv.
You got a shiv. There's like people with the teardrops, with the teardrop tattooed to their face. I've been to 5 screenings. I killed 2 people. Anyways, that was crazy. We got to go to a break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about Twilight.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We just got done talking about the Great Red Dawn Brawl of 2012.
Yes, which probably topped the Great
I Am Legend
kerfuffle of 2007.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was there for that one.
That was crazy.
That was crazy. There were people racing to seats.
There was literally a guy climbing over other people to get to
yes.
a seat. These things are dangerous.
It was the greatest pre-show entertainment ever.
It's so awesome. Because everyone gets around and then everybody's cuddling around. And it is like you're in prison.
And sadly, the guy who won that seat ended up getting thrown out.
I remember that.
When a member of the press showed up late.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. Press people, this is why you need to act professional.
Yes.
Anyways. Let's talk about the next movie. And the next movie is The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1.
Part two, excuse me.
It doesn't matter. It's a part of Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, something.
Anyways, Bella's a vampire now, so that surly look and stuttering gasp in her speech will pretty much last forever.
My time as a human was over. But I never felt more alive. I thought we would be safe forever. But forever isn't as long as I'd hoped.
I have to report a crime. The Collins, they've done something terrible.
Volturi thinks Renesmee is an immortal child.
She was born, not bitten. She grows every single day.
What is it, Alice?
The Volturi. They're coming for us.
Oh, you know, I'm going to preface this first.
Okay.
If you're a fan of these movies.
Yes.
If you've seen all the films.
Mm-hmm.
And you have loved them, and you read all the books 17 times, and every time Robert Pattinson comes on TV, you swoon.
Eee!
And if you wept when you found out Kristen Stewart cheated on him with their director, you're going to love this movie. You're just going to eat it up like a fat kid at a buffet. It's just going to gobble, gobble, gobble. It's so awesome.
It's true.
With that said, what did you think?
It's really difficult to review this movie. It is really hard because, yeah, is this a good movie?
No, it's terrible.
No. No, it's really bad. But it's not as moody as the other ones because now, you know, Bella's a vampire. She got what she wanted.
Yeah.
And, you know, Edward's happy because Bella's not so angry all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jacob's happy because he's imprinted on a baby girl, which is really creepy.
There's so much pedophilia.
Everybody's so happy. But... You know, so at least it's not as moody. And I appreciate that. But it's more ridiculous than ever before.
Yeah.
Seriously, it is so ridiculous. So I guess what I'm saying here is if Breaking Dawn Part 1 was cholera, Breaking Dawn Part 2 is like a really bad case of pneumonia.
Yeah. Something you would probably survive.
Yeah.
But it would weaken you for years.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible movie. It is poorly made. And that's one of the things with the previous film, Breaking Dawn Part 1, that as bad as that movie was, I will say Bill Condon as a director brought in a certain level of quality to the filmmaking process.
Okay.
I thought it looked better. I thought the first one was edited better. The special effects were better. The makeup was better. This one, all that's out the window. It is terrible. We're back to the people with just white faces and completely normal-looking bodies.
I could hear you laughing all the way in my seat.
Well, like, there's one where Kellan Lutz, who's, like, one of the big burly guys, and I guess they didn't want to put a makeup on his muscles. His face, he looks like a clown. Because his face, he looks like a photo negative of when, like, Mitt Romney was on that Telemundo station and, like, spray-tanned his face and nothing else.
Nice.
That's what it looked. It looks so awkward, and they brought that back for this movie. They also have more green screen in this movie
than
Drew Carey's green screen show. Nick Harum, who I was sitting next to during the movie, he said that it had more green screen work than Sin City, which was all shot against a green screen.
Right.
And it's unnecessary green screen.
It is.
And then they do this thing, the baby, which I think, and I know why they did this, because they're like, well, we want to use the actual face of the girl, Swizzle Stick, or whatever her name is,
right.
who grows up, and they wanted to use her face, so they like made the baby version of the face.
Right.
And they digitally put it on the baby, but it looks like they plucked it from the Polar Express.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks creepy.
Yeah, I hope Andy Serkis gets a nomination nice. For his work on this. Gollum was a better was better made. So yeah, that's what this movie is. It's so terrible.
But I have to say, I was at least entertained, but not for any of the right reasons.
Oh yeah, no, it's well, and this is the thing. I have compared this movie to The Human Centipede 2. Because that movie was a terrible film, and it yes. did not work at all as it intended mm-hmm. as a horror movie. But it was one of the most hilarious movies of last
yeah.
year. Same thing with this one. I don't think I've laughed that hard at a movie since Ted.
And Michael Sheen. I mean, how hilarious is Michael Sheen? At one point, he lets out this, I don't even know what sound that was.
It's this joyous squeal of some sort.
And I can't remember the last time I laughed that hard. Now, meanwhile, I have this teenage boy sitting two seats down from me who was just in rapture
really?
During the entire thing. He was so into it. Like, he would go, like, stiff, and all of a sudden he was like, oh! And then he'd curl up in a ball, and he was like, oh! And yeah, at one point, I was pretty sure that he wet himself.
I'm
So, yeah, it was probably the most entertainment I have had in a movie theater in a very long time. And, hey, put that on the DVD.
I enjoyed it, yeah. It's weird. I enjoyed it, but it was so bad.
It's so bad.
I said afterwards, I go, if I had a gun to my head and they said, write the absolute worst ending to this series ever, I could not have come up with this. They have this, of course, this big epic battle in it, because you see it in the trailer. And it's, you're watching the epic battle, and they're like, oh, the Volturi, they have so many weapons at their disposal in frontline. And you never really see it. You never really see what makes them so powerful.
No, not really.
And as I'm watching this, I go, you know, they don't seem to have learned anything from the last epic battle they had, like, in the third book. And it's not even consistent with itself, where, like, when they rip vampires' heads off or whatever, they're supposed to turn into crystallized in Eclipse. They don't do that in this movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
They just kind of fall apart.
Yeah, and they're sort of like the vampires from Dusk Till Dawn. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dry Kramer, and we're ripping apart Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. It is a big number 2, I will say that. But the other thing is, like I said with Bill Condon, I expected a better quality of editing. There's like really awkward edited moments. There's a scene where like one of the character Alice drops a vase because she has a vision, and Jasper, he like zips over and then goes, "What's the matter?" and it played like a Looney Tunes cartoon at times.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It made no sense. And then they have this scene where they like get this house. They've never explained where this house came from.
It just pops up, even though it looks like this little country house that's, straight out of Little Red Riding Hood.
And
it just happens to be right in the property.
Yeah, just right around the corner.
Yeah.
And they, as they walk through the house, they like walk into a room and Edward has to say what every room is. They walk in, he's like, oh, the bathroom. And like, really, there's a tub and there's a toilet and there's a sink. That's the bathroom? I didn't know that. And he walks in, our bedroom. He literally walks in and goes, closet.
Yes. There's clothes in it.
Oh, it's sad. Kristen Stewart is so bad in the movie.
You know, I thought she was really bad when she was moody.
Yeah.
But when she tries to be happy, she's even worse.
Oh, yeah. And she's trying to be like this, this like mean mofo. Kind of.
My personal favorite is one of the very first scenes when she wakes to find that she's a vampire and she's so excited and she has to go out and hunt. And she goes out into the woods and she runs through the woods and she's, running really fast. And they show her and she's got her head turned to the side and her hair is blowing in the wind. And it's like, when is she going to run into a tree?
I wish she would have.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We were just talking about Twilight, the new Twilight movie. You're going to love it if you're a fan.
We could talk about that one next week, the week after, and the week after, and we still would have plenty to talk about.
There's so much to say.
I know.
It's like Shakespeare. At least it thinks it's like Shakespeare.
That's true.
Yeah, because it like has this... And that's the thing. That I think that's what I find so offensive about these movies is...
That it takes itself so seriously.
Yeah. I mean, Stephanie Meyer really thinks she's making brilliant art.
Yes, and you've heard that she's thinking about writing more Twilight books, right?
Of course she is, because she's run out of ideas, and I think The Host is going to bomb. Because nobody cares about that movie. But it's the thing is with Stephanie Meyer is she thinks it's brilliant. And you mentioned Michael Sheen. And Michael Sheen, I think, is the only one who's kind of realizing what it is.
Yeah, I think he's in on the joke.
Yeah, he's like this is just some crappy teen romance book. Yeah. And I'm going to have some fun with it and be silly.
And he is.
And he's awesome in it. I mean, Robert Pattinson to a degree. I think he's turning his nose up at the saga now. Saga. Mm-hmm. It's not a saga.
And Lee Pace. He comes in as one of the vampires this time.
Who's that? Lee
he
Pace?
Is the Patriot.
Oh, God, he's awful.
And he is so funny, though.
Oh, I'm so tired of him.
He's so funny.
He's funny. I just thought it had the most racist costume design ever.
Oh, yeah. It's so stereotypical. You've got, you know, the Amazon women, and you have the Irish guys.
I know. They look like they walked out of the Barty Stone pub, and they're like, I am.
And the Russians.
The Russian.
The creepy Russians.
They're looking for Moose and Squirrel.
Moose and Squirrel.
So bad. It's so bad. But it's people are going to love it. anyways, I say it sucks.
I'm actually going to be kind because I was so entertained by it. I'm just going to say it kind of sucks.
Just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean,
pneumonia.
As a romance, as a decent vampire movie, it sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But as a comedy, it's brilliant.
As a comedy, it's entertaining.
I would get drunk and watch this movie.
Oh, yeah. This is drinking game movie.
It is totally. I just watched New Moon as a drinking game.
I know you did.
I wish I would have watched this as a drinking game.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's stop talking about Twilight.
Do we have to?
Let's stop giving that movie any more attention than it should. It's like a bad child. Bad. No. Shame on you. We're not giving you any more attention. Let's talk about the next movie, the other movie. It's opening in limited release in about 15 theaters, but it is The Silver Lining Playbook.
Yep, and Bradley Cooper plays a mental patient who sets out to win his wife back with help from a young widow played by Jennifer Lawrence.
What are you going to do with yourself?
I'm getting trim, getting really fit for Nikki.
Patrick, she left. She's gone.
Doc, I have one incident. I come home from work, and I see my wife's in the shower. I pull the curtain back. So, yeah, I snapped.
Hey, Tiffany. This is Pat.
You look nice.
Thank you.
I'm not flirting with you.
I didn't think you were.
Look, I think you're really pretty, but I'm married, okay?
So am I.
No, that's confusing. He's dead.
There are no bows and arrows shooting. They're not killing anybody in a cornucopia.
No, which is probably why you didn't like it.
Probably not. You liked it, though, didn't you?
I did. Personally, I think this is the kind of award contender that people can actually see. You know, every year you have all these award contenders and people are like, oh, you have to see this movie because it's brilliant. And nobody sees it because it's slow and boring and critics like it way more than normal people do. This is the kind of movie that people are talking about the performances and you can actually go see it and enjoy it.
Well, it's like The Artist last year. The critics were going crazy about The Artist. And when they released it in the theaters, people were like, there's no sound.
Right.
Like, did you not know what this movie's about?
It's a silent film.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a strangely crowd-pleasing rom-com, which you don't normally find in award season contenders.
I'll give you that.
So.
I personally didn't like it because I don't like, this is not my cup of tea.
No.
It's sort of like Twilight, where I'm not a teenage girl whose loins are burning for Jacob and Edward.
Yeah.
I was not...
Or a 40-year-old mother.
Oh, yeah, well, that too. did not connect with this movie, and it's directed by David O. Russell, who's done some good stuff in the past. He did, Three Kings. He did I Heart Huckabees, which I loved.
And The Fighter was his most recent one.
It's different than The Fighter, because Fighter was so grim.
Yeah, definitely. This is definitely lighter and more upbeat. And even though it deals with mental illness, which I have to say that always reminds me of a scene from Tropic Thunder with Robert Downey Jr. when he talks about playing characters with mental illness on the screen. That, you know, you have to do it, but you can only go so far.
You can't do it in a full way.
Right.
We'll say not getting ourselves in
trouble. Paraphrase. And that's exactly what this is, because Bradley Cooper plays a character who struggles with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has to go through the manic highs and the violent lows, and he does it really well, but he's still a character that you can relate to.
The thing I think I didn't like about it is I thought it just changed. And I'm in the minority, because a lot of people, all the critics seem to be going crazy over this. Mm-hmm. They're talking to war contention. I thought it kept changing its focus. It was like, well, we're going to be this sort of recovery movie, and then we're going to be, oh, this sort of like dealing with the dad. And then, oh, we're going to do Strictly Ballroom now. So it kind of went in all these different directions.
Well, to me, the whole idea was that he comes back and he really wants to get his wife back.
Yeah. And see, that I've known people like that, and I want to punch them in the face.
Yeah.
Regardless
of
whether they're bipolar.
You know, he was in a mental institution. He
gets a pass?
Yeah.
I know. I like I said, I'm in the minority. I was turned off by this movie just because I didn't connect with the characters. Mm.
I love the performances, too.
Well,
Bradley Cooper is, he's the guy from The Hangover. But,
yeah.
You know, here he shows sweetness and vulnerability, and he's the kind of character that you just want to give him a big hug.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Lawrence, well, she's Jennifer Lawrence, but she does it well.
Well, you know what? It sort of reminds me of you and I had a discussion after the movie Lola Versus came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't particularly like it because my point was I'm irritated with people who are going through a midlife crisis when they're 30 and like, I'm not married. Why can't I find somebody? And that sort of thing.
Right.
And you connect with the character better. Mm-hmm. And you just made, I've been through stuff like that before. I know people who've been through that. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's something like that where if you can find something in the characters that
you connect with,
it's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't.
Yep.
I guess. There's a lot to do with it.
You're a guy.
I am. I'm a dude. Anyways, I'm a guy. I'm a fat guy. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. And what's your rating on Silver Linings Playbook?
I'm going to say it rocks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a kind of sucks, because especially putting up against Twilight, it's not nearly as funny as Twilight. I mean, Twilight's
hilarious. It's true.
But
I didn't laugh nearly as hard.
No. Anyways, speaking of Twilight again, what do you think's going to happen at the box office? I have a number in my mind, so I'm going to let you go first.
I also have a number.
So if we end up either with the same number or close, I'm not like doing the plus $1 from...
No, you're not.
Right? No. So do you want to go first? Or do you want me to throw mine out first?
I'll go first. That's fine.
Okay.
I'll give it 145.
145. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's being generous. I had 132.
Okay.
I think Twilight will make 130. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the trend, the movies have made less. They all end up making about $300 million domestically, $400 million overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But the opening weekend is like half their take.
Okay.
Whatever they make on Thursday night and Friday, you double that, that's the weekend. And then you double that, that's going to be their entire take.
Hmm.
And that tends to go. But like Breaking Dawn Part 1... only made, I think, $138 million its opening weekend, which was the lowest of comparable spread, if you don't count the first movie, because that was that was sort of when it began, and the phenomenon hadn't quite hit yet.
Right.
And then Eclipse is a little different because it opened on a Wednesday in the summer. But even then, it still made like $120-some million its first 3 days.
Oh, right.
And those were all business days.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it because it's the last one.
You think that's going to pull more
people? And
you've
got your rabid fans, and they've got to rush out the first weekend to see it.
Yeah. Well, because the other thing
they've got to get all their teenage friends and their creepy middle-aged moms together. And
see, I think the reason New Moon did so well is because there were people still saying, oh, this is only the second movie. I'll check it out. I think by this point, the only people who are going to go see Twilight are the people who are big fans.
It's true.
You're not going to get the person who's like, what's all this Twilight about? Let me go check out the fifth movie.
Mm.
It's not Leprechaun in the Hood.
It's not.
It's doing better as a... It's going to do better as a fifth movie. But yeah, I think 132 million. And then I think then it'll be, you know, Skyfall will be right after it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lincoln's good for 30 million or so, at least.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you think Lincoln's going to do well? It's only in 50
I hope so. Years. I hope it does well.
It's like in a third of the theaters.
You know, in all of the evangelism that we have put forth for this movie, it's got to do well.
It has to.
Yeah.
That's our effect. We are the most influential voices in film. Anyways, when we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs. Now.
welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We just got done talking about Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes.
Before which we discussed in great detail the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2.
In awesome, hilarious detail.
Mm-hmm. And now it's that time we've all been looking for.
That's right.
Yes. Yay. It's time for the DVD Roundup.
There you are. Yeehaw! The first one we have to talk about, Pixar.
Of course.
Pixar has two things that came out this week.
Yes.
And there's Brave,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I thought that was unfairly maligned by some critics.
I agree.
This summer.
I
mean,
I agree.
It reminded me of a little bit of what happened with Cars 2, and I know some people didn't like that, but even if Cars 2 was a letdown, it still was an okay movie.
Yeah.
You know? And Brave was not...
Everybody was complaining because it was too princessy
yeah.
and too Disney, but I enjoyed it. And, well... I guess at the time I was, 7.5, 8 months pregnant with a daughter.
Yeah.
So for me, that connected.
Yes, it did.
Because,
sure.
you know, I'm a mom now and I have a daughter and who knows how crazy and headstrong she will most likely be. So, you know, to me, I connected with that. And well, I enjoyed the story. And it's gorgeous.
Oh, it looks so beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's amazing animation.
It is.
Well, it's kind of like when I saw Real Steel with my son,
mm-hmm.
Liam. And it's about a guy, a boy and his dad doing things. And I saw it with my son, who was about the same age as the kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can't help but get kind of swept up in anything. And Brave does it. And Brave looks, I mean, it's probably, it's hard to say any of the Pixar movies are better looking than other ones. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
they just get better every time.
They take it to the next level. It's one of those movies that you watch. There's a scene, like, in the beginning where she's, like, scaling this waterfall mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like in awe at this, and then you suddenly realize not a single pixel of that is real.
Right.
It's all created in this artificial environment.
And it's remarkable. And I was watching through the special features
yeah.
when I got my copy of the Blu-ray in 3D, of course.
It's cool in 3D.
And, oh, yeah. And looking at the special features and the things that they designed and all of these things that they had to come up with just to... create water and fabric mm. and just the moss in the woods.
Yeah.
It's amazing the things that they do to make these movies as gorgeous as they are.
Yeah. And is it a bit of a derivative princess story? Yes. Does it borrow elements from Brother Bear in a kind of shameless way? Yes. But nobody saw Brother Bear, so that's
no.
okay. So yeah, Brave is a great one, but also possibly even greater, the Pixar Short Film Collection Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if They released the first collection a couple of years ago, and
yep.
it was all of their short films. If you've seen enough of these films, they always have a Pixar movie always has a animated film at the beginning,
mm-hmm. and they come with the Blu-ray release too. They often add an extra one too.
Yes, and this is another collection, and it's on Blu-ray, and it's just the most charming short films
mm-hmm.
you'll ever see on the planet.
These are the kind that you can watch over and over and over again, and you know they're just a few minutes long, so
yeah.
you can. Pop them in when you're waiting for something else, and it's they're so funny. There
well,
is some that are so fun,
and a lot of them are Academy Award winning or nominated shorts,
mm-hmm.
like Luna,
La Luna,
La Luna from last year,
which is gorgeous.
Oh, it's such a beautiful film. But also, it's fun if you have the first one. It's fun to kind of watch them all in sequence, and then go back and watch like Tin Toy,
mm-hmm.
which is so rudimentary, and it
oh,
looks
yeah.
like it was animated by a 5-year old, because that's what it was like in the early 90s,
right. And the collection also comes with some student films
mm.
from some of the directors. So John Lasseter has a couple, Andrew Stanton has a couple, and Pete Docter has, I think, 3.
Mm.
And it's really interesting to go back and look at their days at CalArts and the stories that they put together and the animation that they did. There are some really fun ones in there, too.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed watching those.
Well, and the other thing is, and what I love about John Lasseter and the Disney Company in general is they're keeping alive short films because it was their bread and butter
mm-hmm.
50, 60 years ago when you could do the theatrical shorts, but those have kind of fallen out of favor and everything's gone to television. But Disney continues to throw a short in front of us. Like with Wreck-It Ralph, they have Paper Man, which is probably one of the most touching and beautiful short films I've seen.
Oh,
in a
yeah.
long time.
It was beautiful.
And that's not Pixar, that's Disney Animation. But
mm-hmm.
the Disney company as a whole, I love the fact that they're still putting out quality shorts and not just cranking them out on TV.
Right.
So that's a good. They need to be supported on this because even though it's a big company, it's Disney, it owns Star Wars and Marvel, they're still making these short films that don't necessarily make money.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a great add on to the.
And for them,
brand.
It's practice too.
Mm-hmm.
They can try out new techniques and, you know, get new directors involved, and that's a great way for them to build their company, too.
Yes, definitely. Also out on Blu-ray this week is Lawrence of Arabia, the restored edition, which is always should be worth looking at. You know, I've never seen Lawrence of Arabia.
Really?
I think I might have to watch it now.
I did long ago. It's long, what I remember.
It's David Lean's, and it's also referenced in Prometheus, if you watched
that. Yes.
Speaking of aliens, The Watch is out. Did you see The Watch?
No. No, and I want to, just because it looks so crazy.
Yeah, and it's got Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill, and then
that other guy.
Richard Aoye, whatever his name is. He's like, he steals the show.
Awesome.
He is brilliant in this movie. And I felt such pity for The Watch when it came out, because I thought it was a funny movie. It wasn't great. But it was
I really wanted to see it.
It does what it's kind of a funny, goofy, silly, sort of weird Americanized version of Attack the Block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it looked like. And because it was Fox, it didn't screen. Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to see it. And, you know, I was home with a newborn at the time. So now that it's out on Blu-ray, I do plan on seeing it.
Check it out. It's a good one. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're rattling off some DVD picks and Blu-ray picks. There's also Doctor Who Season 7, Volume 1. They've been splitting these up. So you can watch. You can wait till, you know, like 3 months from now when the entire Season 7 comes out.
But why would you want to?
Exactly. Matt Smith is great, and you have Amy Pond, and they have their story and that sort of thing. And I'm not a big fan of – I'm not like the guy who likes redheads. Now, some people are into redheads. But I think the Karen Gillan, who plays Amy Pond, I think she's just adorable.
She is cute.
Yeah. She'll make me switch to – some ginger appreciation.
Okay. On that note, let's
try not to say anything too creepy.
Moving right along.
There's also Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yay.
On Blu-ray. Party on.
I'm so excited about that.
With Abraham Lincoln. Did they tie it to the release of Lincoln? That's what I want to know.
I think that was intentional. Yeah. Lincoln's in this movie, too.
He's a dude. And Socrates?
Socrates
Johnson?
Yes.
it's such a great movie, and it's at times very inappropriate for
yes, but it is a classic.
It's so great. So yeah, check that one out. Now the stinker of the week is Savages. Have you seen Savages?
No, that screened I think 2 days before I gave birth.
Oh,
so.
Well, that's no excuse. 2 days, lady.
I know. I was recording radio shows that day, but I didn't skip the screening.
You didn't miss much. It's a terrible movie. It's Oliver Stone's film. It continues the curse of Taylor Kitsch.
Oh, Oliver Stone.
And it's narrated by Blake Lively, who's a terrible actress. I mean, if there's anybody who can battle Kristen Stewart for the worst actress ever, it's Blake Lively.
Yes.
One little thing about Twilight I forgot to mention. I have to say this. There's a part in there where they're trying to coach her how to act human.
Oh, yeah.
And they explain all this stuff. And she's like, I get it. What'd she say? You blink, breathe, and slouch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's her acting method.
It is.
And I think that actually comes from the novel. And so,
it's so appropriate.
It's so appropriate for her because that's all she does.
Yes.
And
she missed scowl.
Yeah.
She does scowl also.
That was my impression of Kristen Stewart acting. But yeah, Savages is terrible. And it's one of those movies that they work that I always love when they work the title in, and they work the not only do they work the title in, they work it in as a definition.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's like, the definition of savages is blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh my god, is
that how they start the movie? Because I would have walked out at that point.
It's funny because I was sitting next to Nick Harum from movies8u2.com and from On the Marquee.
Yes.
And when he do it, we look at each other, we're like, ooh, they worked the title in. So Peter Griffin would have been proud of that. Anyways, yeah, avoid Savages because it's got savaged by my review.
I see what you did there. You worked the title in.
Yeah, exactly.
That was very clever.
As Michael Sheen would say. Anyways. Review wrap up. We got to get out of here. We got about a minute left. The Twilight Saga.
Breaking Dawn
number 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes. Sort of. Yeah. Well, actually, they do have an electric Boogaloo lady in that movie.
There you go.
I said it totally sucked. You said it kind of sucked. It is still possibly one of the most entertaining movies.
It is wildly and horribly entertaining.
Silver Linings Playbook. I said sucked, or kind of sucked, and you said...
It rocks.
Rock. Remember to go see Lincoln. Last week we reviewed it. Both of us said rocked, and we want to prove our power as film persuasives.
Well, yes. We are the most influential voices in film.
Yes. Yeah. Say it with confidence, Chris.
We are the most influential voices in film.
Anyways, box office prediction. I said Twilight's going to make $132 million this weekend. Kristen said $145. We'll see you next week. We're going to be talking about Life of Pi, Red Dawn, Rise of the Guardians, and this little film called Hitchcock. Until then, ta-ta!